Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
He got a hold of something there. Let's see. Yeah, he got that face mask.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Vikings fans are going, what the hell?
You know, it looked like he got a pretty good amount of face masks there.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The face mask, it is what it is. I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in the situation that we were in.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson, second gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Here we are on a Friday in our sports world in Los Angeles, California, where the World Series has its first pitch tonight between the Yankees and the Dodgers. It is all good in this hood of sports in Los Angeles, the Lakers and the Clippers, Tuesday and Wednesday, and now last night, Thursday night football, and then the World Series tonight and tomorrow. It's kind of crazy how the Southern California sports world is the center of quite a bit. And so we are here in the center of it all on the Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to be here on this Friday with you on the Roku Sports Channel, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate you're listening to, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. We've got three guests for you. Diehard Los Angeles Rams fan, the second gentleman in the United States, a good friend of mine, Doug Emhoff, will be zooming into this program in hour number three. Tom Pelissero will tell us what's going on to get you set for the rest of your week eight that kicked off last night here in Southern California. And Danger Russ Wilson, the new starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be joining this program. We don't know yet. It depends on when practice ends. It could be hour two or three, but we'll roll with whatever punches we can. We greatly appreciate the Steelers providing Russ to us and Russ saying, I'll do it. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great, man. Yeah, Carmageddon tonight in L.A. Five huge events going on.
That's right. USC is tonight,
USC's
right?
USC's playing tonight. There's a Laker game, and then there's two massive high school football games in the area. One at SoFi, and then Mater Dei versus John Bosco, who are the 1-2 ranked
teams.
Right. In the nation.
And World Series Game 1.
And World Series Game 1. Oh, yeah, that too.
All right, sorry. You'll have to do the rest of the show. I'm out of here because I got to get to the game.
Jeez. What? Yeah, are you breaking news? Are you going tonight?
I'm going tonight with Coop.
Yeah. Nice.
Coop and I
nice.
Are going. Good to see you over there, Jason Feller.
Up,
look at you wearing your Dodger blue hat.
I'm excited.
You should be. It's fun,
very
man.
Excited.
This is great.
It's fun. I was kind of like dreading it because, you know, I don't care for both teams.
Yes.
But now that we're here and it's Friday, it's cool that these two teams are facing off for the first time in 40 years. Like, we've kind of been hoping for it just in terms of the spectacle and what it could be and the superstars that we've talked about in this game. I'm pumped. It's going to be a great World
Ohtani
Series.
Ohtani and Betts and Freeman.
Like we said, eight Hall of Famers possibly in this series.
Yeah,
it's,
Soto
it's
and Judge and Garrett Cole on the mound tonight against John Flaherty of the Dodgers. TJ Jefferson, you've had a morning. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I was just thinking, though, because the World Series would be better if a different team from New York was playing.
It would be a Subway Series starting in the Bronx, New York tonight if that had happened.
But I just want to know how, when last night, when Taylor looked at you and said, Father, she doesn't the World Series.
By the way,
how was that?
I don't know why you
keep,
first of all, stirring the pot. B, that when you start talking about what the conversation sounds like, it's like Scrooge or like Peter Pan. Like, we don't talk to each other like that.
Father, may I go to
she came up to me in her sleeping shirt and her nightcap, wearing, you know, holding a candle that's burning. Father, why won't you take me to the World Series?
I like baseball too.
Oh my God. All right, let's talk about Thursday night football.
Man, people. What a game.
You were there, right?
I was there. Who's
first
house?
Game of the season. First game of the season where both teams scored touchdowns on their open and their first two drives. First time it was 14-14 after four drives
it was
in the
like,
game.
Bam, bam, bam. Well,
and
whoa,
it,
here we go.
You know, yeah, the Vikings marched right down the field. Justin Jefferson having almost 50 yards receiving in that opening drive. And then Rams go right back having Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua on the field for the first time since week one,
when Nacua tried to go on a knee that he hurt during the preseason and then wound up on injured reserve all the way until right before kickoff of this one when the Rams announced Nacua is going to go. The Cup's back from injury, and Nacua's going to go too. And Matthew Stafford's like, okay, thanks. Okay.
Cool. Appreciate you.
Thanks for that. And then, of course, that drive ends with Kyren Williams catching one. 10th straight game with a touchdown for him.
He's all a new Chris Carter. All he does is score
all touchdowns. He does is score touchdowns, right?
In the end zone.
And then, of course, Stafford having Cup and Nacua back. That means DeMarcus Robinson's going to have two touchdowns.
Right.
So the offense looked exactly what the Rams thought it could, what Rams fans believed it could. And Stafford, let me just say this. The way that he plays the game, he is the personification of the words slinging it. Other quarterbacks throw it. Some spin it. You know, Lamar dominates it. So does Josh Allen. You know, he'll truck you. Like, they're different terms, right? Mahomes will steal your soul. So will Allen. Now, you know, Lamar's entering that realm. But when Stafford's on his game, he is the ultimate slinger of the football. He slings it.
Slings it.
He'll sidearm it. He'll no-look it.
Yep.
He'll just sling it right in the bucket. Like one of the touchdowns to Robinson. And then who knew? You know, he showed some elusiveness where he ducked under a clear sack and then found Cooper Kupp in the end zone.
That play was so sick.
It was and sick that's for been, my fantasy team.
By the way, these have been some of the issues the Rams have had when everybody's healthy is that they've stalled in the red zone. Those you could basically say stalling in the red zone is how they lost both games to the Lions week one this year. And last year's season ending for the Rams, wild card loss. But that's it right there. That's it. That's the Rick Dalton gif, right, pointing at the screen. That's it. Cup's back. Nacua's back. Kyren Williams is one of the best touchdown makers this league has seen in the last 2 years. Stafford is slinging it. He did throw one interception that really did cost them.
Only a field goal.
And there, Rick Dalton gif. There it is. Right there. What we saw right there. And enough defense to let the offense survive the day. And so the Rams come up with a big win, 30-20. And we'll get to how they got the final 2 points in a second. And they took a Vikings team that coming off of a home loss to the Lions that kind of left them stinging because they were up. Lions win at the very end, and they come out smoking to the tune of Darnold, another two-touchdown performance, but this one was in the first quarter alone, and they wound up slowing the Vikings down and scoring enough points themselves and gashing that Vikings secondary enough to win this football game. And you could see how Kupp and Nacua open things up for each other and open things up for Kyren, who opens it up for them. And if Stafford's on his game, which he does appear to be, and healthy and on his game, and the offensive line can hold up enough.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. You know, we've seen how awesome the Vikings defense has been this year. Last night, zero sacks. Rams offensive line was great. Stafford was great getting it out fast.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see how that was a huge factor in the game.
And so they win this one. They've won 2 games in 5 days. They're now 3-4. And all that Cooper Kupp being shopped conversation for this Rams team that's now 3-4 with an opportunity to go to Seattle next week and get to 4-4. Seattle at home against the Bills this Sunday. You can already see how the Rams, if they win in Seattle, could be in first place. You know, obviously the Cardinals and Niners have a lot to say about it, but you could see how the Rams have already beaten the Niners. If they go to Seattle next, Rams can win this division. Certainly looking like that. And Cooper Kupp, as you might imagine. is going nowhere at this point in time.
Nope.
And Sean McVay, didn't say the words because, again, you know, he's got some sway, obviously, and some say, but it's Les Snead's phones who's ringing. But this is what Sean McVay had to say on that subject matter after the game.
Teams reached out. Some of the things that I've seen out there, they're just not true. You know, we've addressed that with those individuals. Teams have called about him, and really we let him know what the dialogue was there. And then there's a lot of stuff out there where there's not a lot of accountability to the reports, and that's unfortunate.
Do you think the performance tonight makes you guys more apt to possibly entertain offers?
Yeah, I don't think about those things. I think about coaching our team. You know, I think a lot of the things that were out there, speculation was exactly what that was, speculation. We're an inside-out organization. I'm really glad to have Cooper Kupp back with us, and that's what I expect to stay that way.
That's what I expect to stay that way. Got it. That's a nice little message to the world.
Nice button. Basically, stop calling.
That line has been disconnected.
Hey, man.
The number you've reached is no longer in service. Hey.
It's Les Snead's gig to make sure this team wins now, but also down the road. And that was an interesting. I expect it to stay that way.
You just don't give up a Cooper Kupp. I'm sorry, man. Dude, I understand due diligence.
If you're 2-5, maybe you think about it.
But. Cooper Kupp is 31 years old in his eighth year in the league. He's in his prime.
Come on now.
And he's going to get better. And him and Nacua together. Let me just say this to put a button on the Rams. Name me a better quarterback, 2-wide receiver, running back situation in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen,
let's look this up.
You just take a look at everyone else. You got Lamar. You've got Derrick Henry.
That's equal.
Now that's a great one to start. Okay, you could say that's even better, right? The way that they're playing right now.
But the receivers,
Yeah. Are they Nacua and Kupp?
No.
Okay.
They're good, but
Let's go to even what we just saw last night. Darnold and Aaron Jones is terrific, and Justin Jefferson, but Jordan Addison? Okay, you've got Brian Robinson and Jaden Daniels if healthy, and Terry McLaurin and
Noah.
Okay,
Brown.
Right. You got Hurts,
Eagles,
Saquon, yeah. AJ Brown.
No, that's
and Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith isn't holding up his end so far.
But you would still.
Rams are 100% in the conversation and can have a great argument made about this subject matter.
Drake May, Ramon Stevenson.
Good one.
Can I be honest? We're 12 minutes into this. I am shocked that neither of you have brought up Puka Nacua's hair.
Oh,
that's your thing.
When was the last time you got a haircut?
Doesn't matter.
Like 2019?
It's great. It looks lustrous and great. Wonderful.
By the way,
he looks ready to join Troy Polamalu in those commercials right now.
I mean, I reached out to a source yesterday. 15, 20 plays maybe for Puka yesterday. Nope.
40.
He was out there the whole game. Mm-hmm. He looked great.
He did. And this team looks great when he looks great and Kupp's great. And this team looked great last night.
They really did.
And Rams fans have to be feeling really good about themselves.
Who's
Let's talk about the Vikings now. Because we just spent quite a bit about how the Rams looked and how the Rams have a shot to win this division, and they're surging and have won 2 games in 5 days, and the Vikings have lost 2 games in 5 days. And I know a lot of Vikings fans are nervous about that once upon a time 5-0 team finishing 5-12, like everybody, RELAX, to use a phrase from your division. We'll get to that in a second. Because the Vikings had the game in their hands on Sunday against the Lions, lost it. This one they had an opportunity late, because as much as we're lionizing, to use a phrase, Cooper Kupp's performance, and it's worthy of being excited about if you're a Rams fan, he got too close to the sideline last night when all he had to do is just go down and gave the Vikings a break as they were out of timeouts. And so they got the ball back with 1:50 to go. Now, Ethan Evans showed that punters are weapons, too, because that guy hit a 41-yarder and pinned it on the 5-yard line. And Sam Darnold, after an incomplete pass because, you know, Christian Darrisaw was out, going down in the final play of the first half before taking a knee, that you're wondering, you know, if the aggressiveness to try and get points before the half was a little bit of hubris there, and suddenly Darnold didn't have much time in the pocket in that second half. And so he had to get rid of it on first down and then on second down and 10 from the 5 with time staring the Vikings in the face, the buck 46 to go. Darnold goes back into the end zone and Byron Young sacks him, which is one way to say it. The other way to say it is that Byron Young grabbed him by the inside of the helmet, and that's a 15-yard face mask penalty that should have wiped out the safety and eventual game-ending play. Clear and obvious for everybody at home. And also, you know, it's clear and obvious to Byron Young, because you could see Byron Young put his hands on his helmet like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? I just gave them a fresh set of downs. And obviously the Vikings with that fresh set of downs, you know, would have been 15 yards out, no safety. It would have been first and 10 from about the from the 20-yard line.
Right, they still had to go 80
yards. They still had to go 80 yards with no timeouts left, but the game wouldn't have been over. And again, that's the thing with penalties like this, is that you invest all this time if you're a fan and you're enjoying the game and it is a back-and-forth affair and it is a big game for the Vikings to go win again and like they did the first 5 weeks and wipe out the taste of that loss on Sunday, and they're 6-1 as opposed to now 5-2 with two losses in a row. And the Rams are now keeping Cooper Kupp and they're not 2-5. They're 3-4. They're feeling great. And that could have been the result anyway, right? A Vikings loss and a Rams win based on the way things are, but we'll never know. And that's the big bummer. And, the refs blew it.
Yeah.
Because Trey Blake, the ref, head ref, whose job it is to look at the quarterback, and it's his job mostly to protect the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Anything to do with the quarterback, late hit, face mask, anything like that, it's his responsibility. And you could see, Prime Video had so many great angles of this. T-Man was on it. And there was a shot behind Blake. So you could see he's directly looking at it, but the way that Young came around Darnold and grabbed the inside of the helmet and the most close to the inside of the helmet piece of metal, it wasn't the front of the face mask and pull, which would have been obvious. It was the back of the helmet and the pull that I think threw Trey Blake off. And I'm not making excuses for him, because there's also an umpire who had a better angle of it and he got blocked. And Trey Blake in the pool report after the game did in fact say that the quarterback was facing the opposite direction from me. So I didn't have a good look at it. I didn't have a look and I didn't see the face mask being pulled. Obviously, there's your admission that it was a face mask. The umpire had players between him and the quarterback, so he didn't get a look at it. He was blocked as well. So that was the thing. We did not see it, so we couldn't call it. We couldn't see it. The pool reporter, Calvin Watkins, then wound up saying, hey, you know, was there a discussion on the field? Because the Vikings were obviously complaining about it. And Blake said, on the field, we definitely did discuss it because they did bring up a concern. We discussed it as a crew, but we weren't able to see it on the field, so we weren't able to make that call. And then the last question, is that play reviewable? Blake said it is not reviewable. And here's my two cents on this. There's replay assist watching everything. If we're seeing it at home, you should be able to use it to a positive effect if you're the National Football League and the replay assist crew with the officials who want to get it right. This is something I will never forget again. 22 years ago now, when I first started with NFL Network, and we went to our first owners meeting, at which in 2004, spring of 2004, so I guess 20 years plus ago, 22 seasons ago is when we started NFL Network, at any rate, the question of should we make instant replay permanent was on the table for the National Football League, because it was still temporary. There was still kicking tires on it. And Charlie Casserly, then the general manager of the I believe it was back in 2003. The Texans weren't there yet. I think he was with Washington. At any rate, Charlie Casserly, he basically said, hey, if you're seeing it at home, we should be able to use it. And that was a convincing argument. Where was Charlie with in 2003?
He was with Houston.
Yeah. Right. And he's like, listen, if people at home can see it, we need to use it. It was a convincing argument. And last night is a perfect example. I'm seeing it at home. You're seeing it at home. We're all seeing it at home. You were at the game.
Well,
you
probably saw it.
They didn't show it in the game. Yeah. And so it should be used. And the interesting thing is, you know who has been saying this? Specifically about penalties on the quarterback? You know who's been saying this to the competition committee and to the membership of the NFL? The Rams. Albert Breer, our guest first hour yesterday of Prime Video, saying the Rams sent proposals to the competition committee each of the last 3 years to make penalties on face masks, the quarterback, blows to the head, and roughing the passer reviewable. Shot down every time, and L.A. benefited tonight. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it, other than the fact that membership owners, some coaches, don't want a faceless individual not on the field, unseen, somewhere in front of a television, making a decision that the refs didn't already make themselves. They don't want that. They don't want anything open to interpretation. That's what made such a mess with the pass interference being reviewable, because that's such an interpretive situation. So roughing the passer is, believe it or not, interpretive. Was there too much body weight? Could the guy have held up?
Yeah, is it catchable?
They don't want that stuff being reviewed by an other individual. They'll have you review it if the refs have already called it now. That they'll do. So the refs didn't call it, and replay assist is seeing that this is the wrong call, and their hands are tied. They can't buzz down. They can't say. That needs to be rectified. And in a situation like a face mask, let's just, because again, the league can't, like if the Rams had said just face masks, they might have had a case, but they made it also hits to the head, and they also made it roughing the passer. But face mask, you could see, is it inside the helmet? Are you grabbing a piece of metal or are you not? And if you make face masks, even if they haven't been called on the field by the refs, reviewable by replay assist, which is there to assist. That's why it's in its name. And I've spoken to officials before games who say, yeah, we don't mind it when replay assists. We want to get it right. You think Trey Blake wants to be talking to a pool reporter after the game saying, yeah, no, I was blocked out. I didn't see it. He would love to have replay assist say, put a flag on the field for face mask, Trey, because you missed it. And the league would like to have the Vikings on the field trying to tie that game up last night, as do fans. But not yet. I'm explaining to you this loophole that we once again found, because the football gods found it in the same way they found it in the Superdome and the NFC Championship game when the pass interference call wasn't called, so on and so forth. And you know what? I mean, the head coach gave us the got to play better than the refs situation, or Darnold did, and Kevin O'Connell's not going to take his shot here. He doesn't want to get fined. And he also doesn't want to make excuses. This was his response after.
You know, it looked like he got a pretty good amount of face mask there. Not going to get into, you know, the call or no call and all that stuff. It's just, I told our team, officiating and all that stuff, like, for us to talk about that, for us to seek comfort in that is not how we're going to respond to this. It's just not going to happen. And I'm going to do the same thing right now. I really don't have a comment on whether it was a, it looked like he got a piece of the face mask, but they didn't think so. So they didn't throw the flag.
A total bummer, man. I would love to have seen that thing being decided on the field instead of by some loophole that because it wasn't called on the field, replay assist can't buzz down, even though we saw it multiple angles. And again, Byron Young, this doesn't help Vikings fans this morning because somebody tweeted out a picture of him holding his hands on his head as if he just screwed up.
Yeah, he immediately admit
that, yeah, I grabbed the face mask, and he tweeted out this morning, it was just so loud in there, had to cover up my ears, you know?
That's kind of funny. Yeah, he definitely looked like he got his hand caught in the cookie jar when he ran.
It's like, oh, man, I just gave him a fresh set of downs.
Yeah.
Bummer in that respect. And we need to get the NFL membership to tell everybody face masks, even if they are not called, we can put a flag down for it. I think fans would appreciate it and understand it. Because those are pretty damn clear and obvious. You could even codify it, saying they have to be clear and obvious for a flag to be put on the field for it, because that was it for sure last night. Damn sure. Now then, real quick, Vikings fans, I know you're nervous about going 5-12 again after being 5-0. That's not happening.
No.
This team's filled with some really good players that right now have had a difficult five-day stretch of being consistent in the way that they were in the first five games of the season. There's a mistake here. There's a mistake there. A little bit loose on the back end here. Another missed opportunity on offense there. So on and so forth. They're in a very deep end of the pool. The toughest division in football by far. But they're playing in the AFC South the next 3 weeks. Home for Indianapolis, at Jacksonville, at Tennessee. Winnable football games. Then comes some rubber meat in the road. The two games against Chicago. The other game against Green Bay. And if Green Bay winds up being the best team in the division, you know, you could sweep them and have a tie break over them. The other games are winnable still, too. And then the last game at Detroit. Who knows? 12 straight losses? Not from this team. Not from that coach. Not going to happen. They'll be in the mix. Tough five-day stretch, though. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And a tough pill to swallow again for him. Take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. It's a What's More Likely Friday as well. Tom Pelissero is still to come.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Back here on our program, how was it, the environment last night? Because there were a lot of Vikings fans, right?
I was surprised about how many Vikings fans made the trip or live in Southern California.
There's just a lot. I mean,
that's how it is for every Rams or Charger game. You know, there was a lot of road fans. But I would say it was probably 60-40, maybe 65-35 Rams. It was a really good crowd, really loud. And a great game, you know, right from the beginning.
So fun.
I mean, it was touchdown, 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 touchdown. It was kind of immediate. You're like, okay, we got a shootout. Let's go.
Right.
It was fun.
And then there were some guys I was hanging with last night who were celebrating all those points to start.
Yes.
And then got very nervous.
Very nervous.
Over the next 2+ quarters.
Uh-huh. I understand that.
I was unaware. But they were talking about this.
I got to say, I hit both ends. I middled. I teased the under to 58, which hit. And then I teased it down, the over 40, dude, also hit.
Do you understand these languages?
It was a great night.
Not at all.
He's speaking Mandarin right now.
It was a great night.
You teased an under and an over?
So I tried to middle it, and I did.
Okay. Congratulations on middling, sir.
Thank you.
Normally, when something's middling, that's bad news.
That's a bad thing, right?
It's not good.
No.
But
no.
You middled.
You middled.
When you're trying to middle a total and it works, nothing better in the world.
Did in the middle of Little Italy.
See, that's what you should have done on Master Key, was middling it.
honestly,
my eyes were closed.
Depending on when you got your total number,
yes,
that safety might have given you the over.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So it was 40.
Oh, man.
It was 48.5 kind of early in the week. So well,
and that's where people think that Trey Blake blew it because
right.
he was middling the over or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is now that's way off.
Is it?
I could. Yes, it is. Don't even say that nonsense. Yes, it is. Dude, this guy.
Great
Ooh,
night.
Me? I'm not middling.
Great there you go. You hit the over right there.
See?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm
so
sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by as the Miz did yesterday on that piece of paper where I have my copy, if you will, written down. I mean, I can kind of say that off the top of my head. I've been talking about Grainger forever now.
Of course.
Yeah, there are all the W's from the new win-loss game of the Miz.
Eating dubs like James.
Cleveland Browns.
Gives us what we want. He's like, there's literally wins in his name.
For Winston. And Hub and Chubb.
It's great.
I love how each pick he had something somewhat complimentary say about the team, but then, no, that's about
it. He gave, I know he's not the people's champ, right? But he gave the people what they wanted.
He did.
And that Browns belt that was just like stuck.
Yeah,
it kept falling on him.
Right? Let's go to Gabe in El Paso, Texas. First up on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, Rich. Good morning. Good morning, fellas.
What's up, Gabe?
First and foremost, what I wanted to get to, I want to thank you last month for giving me your virtual hug and assuring me that everything was going to be okay with the Packers.
Was I right or was I right, Gabe?
You know what? And this goes to show that behind a good coach is a good backup quarterback. Oh, my gosh. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Right? Malik Willis kept the team afloat, you know?
Yes, he did. He did. That was great.
So you're welcome.
And also, I wanted to say that just a small announcement here. I was able to watch you guys this entire week live instead of being at work on podcast because I'm in a transition period right now. After 17 years at my job, I am finally moving to something different. So,
okay.
Congrats, Gabe.
Well done, Gabe.
Congrats.
And speaking of moving on, you got the Packers taking on the Jaguars and then Detroit. That's the biggie. That's the biggie, man, in week 9. That's the biggie.
That's going to be with all due respect to Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, that'll probably be our warm up game before, of course, the big one though, and that next week against Detroit. So
for sure, thanks for the call, Gabe.
Yeah.
Good luck in your new venture.
Congrats, Gabe, moving
on right there, and we appreciate it.
Yes, and then I did have an overreaction though. The Vikings losing last night kind of I guess derailed it though, but I don't know if you guys had talked to it or about it earlier, like this week. But my overreaction is this, and I'll hang up and then I'll listen in what you guys can talk about this.
Yes,
all 4 NFC North teams could make the playoffs.
Well, you've actually even said that, Chris. Right? Has that not been an overreaction subject matter?
Last week on the Overreaction Money podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, I said the Vikings were going to be the odd man out, and they were 5-0 at that point.
Oh.
And they've lost 2 in a row.
Okay, very good. So, I don't know about them apples. We'll see. We'll see. Thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate this, Gabe in El Paso. Bears are taking on the Washington Commanders, who just said Jaden Daniels got in a limited practice today.
He was out there, which is conflicting news, because like an hour ago, he was not there for the media portion of practice. And then Dan Quinn was like, oh, no, he got in a limited.
He got in a little bit.
Oh,
well, why wouldn't you just lob that into the state of Illinois? What do you care? It's not like, you know, that. I mean, Marcus Mariota is playing the same style, right, as Jaden Daniels.
But. Las Vegas is expecting Jaden Daniels to not play.
So. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But they're not playing the Raiders. Why would you mention Las Vegas?
Oh, you know, the town that okay. You know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm picking up what he's putting down.
You know what I'm saying?
And then while we're on the subject matter of the Green Bay Packers, we kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday. Do you see who's at their facility?
Yeah. Oh, the facility.
No.
Oh.
Green Bay's facility.
Oh, okay.
The difference between that and the facility.
Got it.
At Green Bay's facility, watching the offense.
Oh, Bob.
Robert Sala.
Bob Sala.
He's got some time on his hands because the Jets decided, you know what? Let's just take the guy who had our team 4-3 with Zach Wilson last year and
kick him to the curb.
And kick him to the curb, and let's get the defensive coordinator doing more stuff that he's never done. Let's do it in the middle of the season, and then, you know, on top of it, let's go ahead and get the wide receiver that's been knocking on our door for a few weeks. Let's go ahead and make that happen without Robert Saleh there, and then on top, let's solve the Hassan Reddick problem.
Oh, yeah, I saw Woody Johnson tweet about that.
Oh, did he? What did he say?
He had a picture of Hassan at practice, like, welcome back.
Welcome back. Making the Jets great again.
Saleh's like, what the heck, man?
Guys, Saleh's got stuff to do, though. Helping the Green Bay Packers get better on offense. He's watching the offense to help the guy at I guess they were best men at each other's weddings?
I thought the story?
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah,
Matt LaFleur, who is one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. Hit it.
We've been close for a really long time. We were roommates together back at Central Michigan. So, you know, we thought it was a good idea just to bring him here. And he's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So, just taking a look at some of the things we're doing.
For any period of time or?
I'd say it's pretty fluid.
Will he be here most days, most weeks, the rest of the year?
Again, it's pretty fluid. I think it's important for him to spend time, obviously, with his family. So he's staying through Thursday and going back on Friday.
He's staying with you and Bree?
God, you guys want to know all our business. Yes, he is staying.
All right. Robert Saleh's in the LaFleur guest room or house, whatever their setup is.
And I'd imagine he's volunteering his time, right? Make Woody pay every last dime that he's
owed. We already discussed this. I'm not taking a job until this movie.
Coaches are lifers, man.
Oh,
and they're football. Like, Saleh's a football dude.
Oh, he also is probably sick of getting hounded by the paparazzi at the grocery store.
You ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Or he just, you know, he just probably misses being around it. And he's been able to take a couple weeks and take a beat and feels comfortable now enough to get back in front of it. And as opposed to where it would probably still sting, like, oh, yeah, I was the HC of the Jets. And now he's comfortable just even returning to a practice field under the roof of a dear friend who's having him out there and helping him out. And he's a hell of a voice to have. And I'll say this too, you know, you think the Niners would love to just have him be less fluid with Green Bay? Honestly, everyone else. And kudos to Jeff Hafley being comfortable and for LaFleur to have his staff all comfortable together. Say one of the most sought after defensive coordinators in the NFL, if he's free and wants to do that, is going to come here and help us with the offense and give a defensive set of eyes on our offense. It's awesome. So my quick question for you is, what's more likely?
Oh,
as we end up throwing a break and playing this. What's more likely? Robert Saleh helps the Packers make the Super Bowl by helping things out and is standing on the sideline of the Packers Super Bowl.
Yes.
Or what I've already predicted, Mike Williams catches the game-winning pass for the Chiefs.
That's funny.
To have them three-peat.
Well, you know, they have kind of filled that void in Kansas City a little bit with DeAndre Hopkins.
Can't have enough.
Can't have enough. Well, since I picked the Packers to make the Super Bowl in the preseason,
you'll go LaFleur.
I'm going to stick with
having
LaFleur and Robert Saleh.
Yes.
They're New Orleans.
Okay.
On the side.
What do you think? What's more likely?
I'm going to stick with that Mike Williams thing, except it might be DeAndre Hopkins now. Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
That's Mike Williams.
That was Mike Williams.
Thank you, Mike Williams.
Notice I didn't say the Jets making the Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say, or maybe. I mean,
you're
you know,
not crazy.
Winning
Rich,
on Sunday, I don't know.
Going from 2-5 to the Super Bowl.
Crazier things have happened.
Have I know.
Really? Have they really? I don't know that anything.
We'll take a break. What's more likely when we return? Don't go anywhere. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho with me, Chris Jericho, goes deep and gets personal with your favorite pro wrestlers, including MJF, Jon Moxley, Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, Timeless Tony Storm, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to and follow Talk is Jericho on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Do it now, says the Learning Tree. Thanks, guys.
So I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do because I counseled TJ to never do this, but I just saw a couple of YouTube comments.
Uh-oh. Which video?
About you not taking
our Dallas Cowboys conversation yesterday.
Okay.
A viewer named Gobi says, we need a finger of blame segment.
All right.
I think you would be on that,
that's
right?
That's a good idea. I'm down to blame.
Family members here. Mm-hmm. Who is the one person into whose hands we should place the finger of blame segment for producing?
Well, I mean, he's got a lot on his plate right now. He's got.
Would you want to produce the finger of blame segment?
No,
that's not your. That's not really your DNA.
My bailiwick.
Yeah, you're a positive man.
Who likes to blame people?
We've already got a drop for it.
What do you
got? I screwed that up. Sorry.
No. So,
we talked yesterday
about having the finger of blame.
The finger of blame. Who gets the finger of blame pointed at
them? I wrote that down as a fantasy name. We've gotten some good fantasy names in the last week.
Like what?
Manufacturing nonsense.
Okay.
8 footballs and a bagel. Bloomin' onion dust. Crowd work with Bartolo Colon.
Oh, yeah.
Resting Harrison face. Finger of blame and nerd attitude.
Nerd attitude. By the way, that I just saw the latest Jake run of the reel that we discussed earlier.
Excellent.
It's fantastic.
Okay, great. I found a 10-minute clip of why this movie couldn't be made today, and I was like, Jake, watch that. Pick the best one.
Revenge of the Nerds.
The time has
conversation
come.
With
my words.
With Ted McGinley, that reel's going to hit in the next few minutes, and it is glorious.
I may watch that tonight after the World Series.
Look at you.
I was going to watch it last night. You see, he put this on his Instagram page?
Fantastic. Wonderful. You back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Friday. It's What's More Likely Friday. Hit it. Go ahead and hit it. Let's do it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, you have the floor, sir. What do you got?
Everybody, what's up? Happy Friday.
Same.
Hey,
same.
Hey, good luck to you, Rich, and your Yankees. Good luck, feller. Dodgers.
Thanks.
Let's hope for a 7-game series. All right, hey, these two teams played last night. Which team do you feel better about their playoff chances? Rams or Vikings?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Jeez, I'll take the Rams. They can win the division, and the Vikings have lost to the Lions, who I think are the class of the NFC. So I'll do that right now. How about that? I'm taking a 3-4 team over a 5-2 team, but the Rams, all they got to do.
Well, think about this weekend.
Think about this weekend.
Bills going to Seattle and
then make them 4-4.
Win that game. They're 4-4, and say Dallas actually does it, go into San Francisco
even
and
if
win.
Even if San Francisco goes to 4-4, Seattle, the Rams have beaten San Francisco already right now.
Right, it's still a half game back. But I'm saying if you take Dallas, and then they're only a half game back of Seattle.
And then, you know, there's the Cardinals. Don't sleep on them. But they're in Miami with Tua coming back.
Yep.
I mean, that's just for the next 2 weeks. I'm just looking for the long run.
NFC West is going to be fun.
Is that the Rams have a much clearer path to winning it, with the rest of their division being, you know, either on par or less than a Rams team that we saw last night. And the Vikings are in a very deep end of the pool. But they do have a win against Green Bay in their back pocket, in Green Bay as well.
True.
That way, that said, I'll just take the Rams and move on. At this point in time.
And NFC is fun. Look at that. Look at that top 13 teams.
There's six teams sniffing it right now.
It's great. Love it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Big matchup in Cincinnati this weekend. I'm looking at the wide receivers. How about which superstar wide receiver are you like more likely to go for more yards and touchdowns?
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase or AJ Burrow?
Jamar Chase. I take Jamar Chase in this one. Burrow's playing out of his skull, buddy. More than not. I'm going to throw out last week because that's Cleveland. I don't know what's going on there.
Like 2-5 or something?
I'll take Jamar Chase. Burrow's playing better football than Jalen Hurts. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll buy that.
Very good. Yeah. I'll just say that. Overall.
Are you picking Cincinnati?
Yes.
Okay.
I am. Picking Cincinnati to win this game at home. I'm not quitting them. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I have noticed that.
Not quitting them.
I have noticed that.
Oh, just so we're on the subject of picking games. I lone wolfed the Rams last night.
I did too.
And that'll be, you'll see on NFL game day morning, over the 3 weeks we were off, I got only 9 football games wrong.
Jeez.
9. And these are straight up, none of your nonsense.
I know, man, but still, you can make money picking money lines, Rich. You know
what else, Chris?
All right, how about this one? How about really? I
do make money off of that. I host the NFL network. I'm not.
You're doing great. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
In order to continue to do that, he can't do the thing that you want to do.
That is correct. Okay. Yeah. Yes. That's correct.
To keep this rolling, there was a whole, you can't do that thing.
You know, hour-long presentation I had to watch.
Right.
Through human resources of the National Football League.
I know you and the goods are close, but I don't think he'd sign up for that.
Chris, what else?
How about this one? The most likely current not top 10 quarterback to have more touchdown passes on Sunday.
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes or Drake
guy.
May.
How about this guy, current non-top 10 quarterback.
Are you sure you want to take that moron comment back that you said you didn't mean moron?
Or Drake May.
Hold on a second. I know you guys.
May.
Hold on. I know you guys. You guys hate stats and facts, but I'm going to spit a little too for you. There's only one quarterback in the NFL who has yet to throw a touchdown pass in October. Do you know who that is?
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, he sucks.
And the other quarterback. Just did something only Dan Marino has done. That's throw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns in their first 2 career starts.
Can I guess who that is?
That's Drake May.
Jerakke Maye.
Jerakke Maye. So who do you got to throw more touchdowns?
I'll take Mahomes in Las Vegas, buddy. This guy.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
You know what I mean? Stats.
And in terms of all of what you're saying about Mahomes.
Facts. You mean all the facts
of what you're saying about
saying.
Mahomes.
Hey, in this world of alternative facts, Rich, I'm all about the real facts.
Yeah.
Rich, can I ask you a question? Is the real fact that team is undefeated?
Yeah.
Because that seems like a real fact to me.
Okay.
And defending Super Bowl champions. Right. That's a fact.
Okay. So I'll just say this on behalf of Patrick Mahomes. this whole business of what you're talking about, it'll get handled when it gets handled.
By the way, that's this week.
Right. Oh, that's right. Raiders, it is this week.
It's Raiders.
That's right. It'll it's Raiders week. It's handled. Oh, somebody's getting baptized, man, in Vegas. And I'm not talking about, you know, the actual stuff.
I think it might be what else? What Jack else? Jones. Did you
come
see
on,
that?
That one was fun.
What else?
Did you see that clip, by the way?
That was fun.
What else? What else?
Jack Jones of the Raiders, he basically doubled down on weren't afraid of Mahomes.
All right, more likely to be a Monday headline. Jets season over or Brown season has life?
Oh, man. Browns, Baltimore. Come on, man.
Jameis.
You're just putting me in these binds because I don't
That's
think.
That's the point of the game.
No, I think the Jets win and the Browns lose. So okay, I choose neither of these.
Yeah, well, that's not the
likeliest
that's not
aspect is what you're not mentioning. You're just trying to you're trying to box me up.
Yeah, I'm trying to box you in.
Yeah, and I refuse to do it.
All right.
What else? This guy.
How about
this guy? Have you noticed he's grinding axes?
That's your man
with each
right
one
there.
Of these? I mean, you're supposed to be giving me legit things.
Oh, this is positive. This one is positive.
It's not positive. I just want legit.
How about returning quarterback to throw for 250 and two touchdowns? Bryce Young getting the start this week?
Yeah.
Or Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, come on. I'll go Tua, buddy. An Alabama returning quarterback.
I missed that.
We're going to see Tua do his thing. Man, Bryce Young, unbelievable.
By the way, Andy Dalton got into a car accident.
I know
this
that Andy Dalton got family. Yeah. Everyone's all right, but no Deontay Johnson, no Adam Thielen. I'll take Tua. What else, Chris?
All right, last one. Quarterback to get their interceptionless streak broken. Josh Allen has zero on the year. Jared Goff has been unbelievable the last 3 weeks.
I will go Allen because crazy things happen. And there's no such thing as normal games in Seattle, as you know, right? And Goff's at home. So I'll take the guy on the road with the 12s going crazy.
Okay.
You think we need one more?
All right,
we'll get one
more. Wow. Who would have thought there was one more?
All right, guys, I need you to stay with me on this one, okay? More likely to be the higher total. Dak Purdy combined touchdown passes Sunday night.
Got it.
Okay, like 12.
Or Judge, Soto, Otani, Mookie home runs in games 1 or 2 combined.
Oh, man.
So does Dak and Purdy superstars hit more home runs?
Let's go 4 for Dak and Purdy.
Okay, that seems doable.
Oh, man.
Great. Yeah, 2 games. So games 1 and 2. How many? Do the superstars go yard?
I'll go Dak Purdy. Because it's always the Edmonds of the world, you know what I mean?
Tiascar,
right?
Maybe Stanton stays hot.
Stanton, you didn't include Stanton.
I didn't include Stanton. I said Judge Stanton. Soto and
right.
Mookie and Otani.
I'm the shout out.
Maybe Rizzo somehow finds it.
Maybe Will Smith.
I'll jump in here and shout out Big Al, who hits dingers and loves dingers. Nice. I'm gonna go with the home runs.
Okay,
nice.
That's what's more likely. Good stuff, Christopher. Tom Pelissero, and then we'll find out when Russell Wilson joins us as they're heading off the practice field in Pittsburgh right now. Still here on Roku.
I can't believe you guys didn't like the not current top 10 quarterbacks.
Dude.
That was very well phrased, I thought.
So stupid. Mahomes.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al.
Drake May in the same sentence.
And I hit dingers.
Yeah.
Hey,
by the way, it'll get handled when it gets handled.
It'll
get handled when it gets handled.
There it is. What do you label that one?
Was gone.
So you had to find it back?
I had to bring it back in.
Oh, my goodness. Why would you delete that? Del Tufo.
You know, I got here and there was like 4 spaces that weren't there.
That's one of them?
I wonder what these were. Then
why would he erase them, though?
I don't know.
He has a system.
This is it.
Don't question the system.
It'll get handled when it gets handled. It's this weekend.
It's this weekend.
Oh, man. Nobody has the ability to choose the Chiefs in their survivor pool in week 8, right?
I got
to
say, if you're even still alive in a survivor, if anybody's pool is still going in week 8.
Somebody must. I'm happy to have people call in. But in all honesty, you take a look at the first few weeks, you might not have chosen the Chiefs in any of these games. Home for Baltimore, home for Cincinnati, at Atlanta. You're really going to say that's the one at the Chargers?
No.
Home for New Orleans?
There are some big spread games this week too, actually. So you got options if you're still alive.
Yeah. Chiefs in Vegas and the it'll get handled when it gets handled stuff. Oh, that's pretty juicy. Tommy P coming up.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do like artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.